Let's just give them all our praise this evening. Lord, you are.
Lord, you are.
Can we just all stand and praise him?
The lover of my soul.
Praise your name, Lord God. Be exalted among your people.
Oh, Lord, you are exalted.
Last phrase one more time.
Lord, you are. Lord, you are. Lord, you are the lover of my soul.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. We exalt you this evening, Lord. Truly, you are the lover of our soul, Lord. Lord, we love you so much, Father. And Lord, to feel our hearts burn within us, Lord, for the love, kindness, Lord, and your grace bestowed upon us, your mercies, Lord, your tender mercies, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given us, Father, to stand, Lord, here tonight victorious, Lord. To stand here tonight, Lord, justified, sanctified, Lord, and Lord, praising you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, Father, Lord, in us, Father, and through us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for you've done a marvelous thing, Lord, in our eyes, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, for you, Lord. We're hungry, Father, for more, Lord. We want to grow more, Lord. We want to come up higher more, Lord. Lord, we want to think less of us, Lord, and think more of you, Lord, to be continually, Lord, living, Lord, breathing, feasting, Lord, at your table, Father. We praise you, Father. We ask that, Lord, you just fill us up tonight, Lord, from your table, Lord. Lord, where there's an endless supply, Lord. Lord, to grow us, Father, into your very image, Lord. To do your will, Lord. Lord, to feed others, Lord, from your table, Lord. We thank you, Father. Jesus Christ.
Lord, you are. Lord, you are the lover of my soul.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. God bless each one of you. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for leading songs, Nate. Appreciate your song leading. Appreciate each one of you being here tonight. Am I green light? Am I not high enough? Maybe I'm not high enough. Is that better? Okay, thank you. Okay, praise God. Just how many of you have been just enjoying what the Lord has been just giving us this just lately? I'm so blessed. It's just things just opening more and more. And I think what's wonderful is, like Brother Brown said, you know, just like a sheep has, is it four stomachs? As many stomachs, we'll say, that, you know, he says, take these things home and chew on them and you'll get a lot more out of them. And I think, you know, after, you know, hearing about those 12 gates of pearl and how that, you know, that we went, Bethany and I went home and we were just researching about the pearl and you know, just thinking about how it's such a type of the gospel, you know, how that Hollywood glitters and but the gospel glows, and how that, you know, even a pearl isn't shiny, but it has that wonderful reflection. And they were talking about how each God made each one of those molecules in there to line up and to reflect the light in a certain way that you get that wonderful sheen that only a pearl can give. And of course, it's interesting because I've always heard that it's a grain of sand,
that isn't, but it's in any irritant. It could be, they said it could actually be a parasite that gets in through the shell, bores through the shell and comes in. It could be something like that, and a little worm, a little this, a little that, a little imp, and that God turns it, allowed that oyster to be able to put a protective coating around that. It's amazing just watching it, how it just completely covers it, so it cannot affect it. And I thought, that's so neat. You know, here we have a lot of irritants in this life. Like Sister Marie Painter told Nate one late night, "Nate, I just want to pay my bills and go to heaven." Because just sometimes how we feel, we just feel so tired and so many irritants trying to wear us down, and yet those will from all those trials, more precious than gold, are just pearls of great price. Amen. Just wanted to speak a little bit tonight on feasting at the table, and feeding from His table, and just something that came on my heart real strong, and so I just wanted to go into it, and I just pray you won't fall asleep, being that this is a very simple thing, but yet so complex, because that's what we do every Sunday and Wednesday night, and every time we turn on a sermon, every time we open our Bible, we're feasting at the table. So what a wonderful, wonderful thing that it is. Let's we stand in on the word, Romans 14. And let's read verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Let me just read that one more time. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, please quicken Your word to us this evening once again, Lord. You've done it before, Lord. You will in the future, Lord. And we just look to You, Father, Lord. The eagles are gathered, Lord. We just praise You and thank You for that, Lord, because we know that there is a carcass there, Lord, because the eagles are gathered. We just thank You, Father. Feed Your children this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good to have the believers on tonight. God bless Uncle Paul. Looks like Ron and Pam and Janelle and Steve and Diane, Rachel, and the Field family. And then Brother Tom, God bless you. Just want to kind of go through, let's just go through it, explore territory. You know, what is, why food? Why is it so important to eat? You know, we can think, you know, just for our younger viewers too, just to think about this, you know, why do we eat food? We eat food because we're hungry, right? And praise God for hunger. There's, you know, people that have diseases and where they're not hungry, and they actually have to be force fed because they don't have something in them of a dysfunction where they can't, they're not hungry. And so thank God for hunger. And if we didn't have hunger, we wouldn't be here tonight. Praise God. So and so to know that food is not only because we're hungry, but because that hunger is because we need to eat to live. And think about this spiritually and naturally, and then Why food is so important is because without food we won't be able to grow. You know, we can use Isaac as our little example, or any of the other little babies in church, how that they have to be fed every 2 hours. It's such a vital. I mean, Bethany is Isaac's life support system. I was thinking about it today that he's never drank water in his life. You know, imagine someone being able to have a statement saying, "For 4 months I haven't drank any water." But to think that God put something in a woman and a mother to be able to support to provide that life so that the baby can grow all the nutrients that it needs. And you just think about how El Shaddai, you know, that is our God. You know, he gives us everything that we need. Amen. Everything. And so it's in order to grow it. And, you know, I was thinking about it. This is just new territory for me. So you please take this and break open the nutrients. But at feasting at the table, and you think about it. Why at the table? You know, here at home, young people especially. All right, everybody, come eat at the table. Don't sit in the living room. Come eat at the table. Or maybe we're going to eat at the table and say, someone needs to clean off the table. There's a bunch of crafts on the table. Why do we need to clean the table? You know, there's something for that. And then, you know, to just give overview and to, you know, what is real food? And what is real spiritual food? And then to think that the world is hungry. You know, it's not just you know, us tonight. But the whole world is hungry for Christ. That we'll say the world as in, for God so loved the world, right? You know, we know that the only ones that are hungry for truth are the ones that love truth, and that God put that hunger for them. So praise God that there's that for that's and how, and then just really to see that it goes from, you know, why food and why the table, what is real food spiritually and naturally, and then also to become a picky eater. You know, for us, in order to live, we need to have the right kind of food. You know, if we only had donuts all day. We know even how Brother Derek preached how that one person in England, they finally came out scientifically and said the reason why they were, was it deaf or blind? Does anybody remember? Blind? Yeah, blind, because they only ate certain foods that were really unhealthy or just junk food. And so it actually was affecting them. And so for us, who cares if we have hunger if we're not eating something that will help us to grow? We all know that. And then to be able to pass on that and to feed others from the table of life. I always love definitions. You know I do. And have you ever read the definition for what food is? I thought, you know, that's really interesting because since I work at Costco, I walk the aisles and every food product is a campaign, you know, spent millions of dollars on that packaging for you to choose this bacon versus this cereal versus that one, and it's paid for, you know, this is heart healthy and this stamp of approval and this is certified organic. All this stuff is just screaming at me all day long, buy this and not this, me, pick me, oh, I have greener labels, I must be better for you, all these things. And we know we're all bombarded by this spiritually as well. But the definition of food, so this is what we should be eating, if we think about it, is a material consisting essentially of protein, carbohydrate, and fat used in the body of an organism to do what? To sustain growth, repair, and vital processes, and to furnish energy. So we see that, it has to be something that we can eat for the rest of our lives, and it'll help us to continue to be sustainably healthy and to keep moving forward. And even though we all know that as we get older, we naturally get weaker, just like Brother Brown said. But to repair our bodies, you know, if our bodies are broken or need, so this is where you don't fall asleep, because this is just food. But there's something here that we're getting to. And vital processes, and to furnish energy. And then it says, something that nourishes, sustains, and supplies. So that something that actually gives us real vitamins, and actually, like, fills our hunger. It has to be something that fills our hunger, that real hunger that we have, and supplies. So we see this, you know, in the world so much of, everything is, you know, we have news feeds. We have, you know, all these things. You notice how that, you know, TV comes on, you beam TV through a dish. Isn't that interesting? You know, you have a satellite dish, or you know, at computers you have servers. You know, just like you would at a restaurant. Everything is serving information and dishing it out, and everything is feeding us something, right? And so because why? We're feeding on things, and we're growing opinions, we're growing our values. All this from what we hear, right? Even what you're hearing me say is you're basing it off of what you value and the different the tastes you have for what you like to hear. Even but we know that it's natural and spiritual. But you look how God feeds us. And it's so different, obviously, than what real food is, because we don't just have real food. And he told us that, you know, again in Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, there's something in there, you know, for us to all be challenged today, right now. How many, if there was meat and drink placed here, and then there was righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost over here, which one would we choose? We'd say, well, that's, Stephen, you can't say that. That's not righteous, because you're saying, well, starve. If I choose this, I starve. If I don't choose that, if I don't choose regular food, I starve naturally, correct? Mm-hmm. And then if I don't choose righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, I starve spiritually. Mm-hmm. Right? So there has to be a balance, right? We have to say, you know, because, you know, as we'll see, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, come and dine. And there was natural food, and there was spiritual food, right? Let's go right to that place. It's John chapter 21. And this kind of gives us a showcase of the balance. Praise God. And you just think all the time that Jesus spent after the resurrection, and how he made things so important. And we all know the story. You know, they Peter had said, "I'm going fishing." And of course, they didn't catch any fish. And we'll just jump in at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." Now, why is he talking about meat? You know, here he's had the resurrection. And now he's talking about food. Why does he care about natural food? You know, like we said, it's unfair to place. I'm not trying to tell us pick one over the other, because Jesus didn't. But he takes the first thing first. You got to be hungry. You know, you fished all night. You have no food, right? And I've lost my place. Excuse me. Verse 4. And verse 5. And then verse 6, he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Of course, there he provided for them. And, of course, they couldn't even hardly draw it in for the multitude of fishes. And they knew it was the Lord. And Peter jumps in the water, and he swims to shore. And we'll go on down to verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a bunch of manuals for how to survive without Jesus. No. There was bread and fish upon the fire. There was coals, and there were fishes laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." And, of course, they counted them and everything. And verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And what a showcase. This is one of my favorite stories. I just love it. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And verse 15, and now when they had dined, so now the scene is set, he'd fed them, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, and what did we know? We all know what he's going to say to him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto them, feed my lambs. I never caught it before, Randy, before this, that here he had just fed them who were hungry all night to get food, probably for their I'm sure for their families, right? And then he fed them. And not only did he feed them, but he also gave them a great multitude of fish to sustain them for a long time. And then he goes right into Peter, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. So now all of a sudden he goes into a spiritual application of feeding, of pass on. You love me, feed my lambs. And again we see that he asks him a second time, Simon, thou son of Joseph, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Third time, Simon, son of Jonas, thou lovest me. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest me, thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So he was so emphatic. We know that story. Feed my sheep. That, what if Jesus had never said that to Peter? You know, that what if he'd never appropriated, you know, as Ephesians 4 says, you know, gave some prophets, apostles, teachers, pastors, evangelists, you know, to edify and build up and to grow, because he wants a sustainable, growing church. Just as those many nets of great fish, how that he has a bountiful supply for us. And, you know, how, you know, Brother Branham, through his ministry, God allowed him to store up food for us. And all this food, you know, 1,221 sermons that we have, all this food to grow from, all that, how the tape player, the recorder was invented just so that we could have this spiritual food. Amen. Isn't that wonderful, saints of God? Amen. You know, going back to the table a little bit, you know, you think about that. What is a table? A table, you think about this, an easy way to understand it is the altar, the pulpit is a place where we is the table, right, where we receive food from the Lord by God's grace. But it's also an altar to where we repent. Isn't that interesting? It didn't really come to me till that time to think that it's also an altar where we die to ourselves. We lay our lives down to Him. You know, and we know that it's not this place right here, correct? But yet, it's this. It's a symbol of that. It's a place that we feast at, and it's a place of sacrifice. Amen. And I pray that this won't confuse or make anybody choke on anything. But if you go back and look at what Brother Branham talked about, he'll talk about the altar, and he talks about this table and this altar, and because it's a place of feasting and it's a place of sacrifice. And yet, what if I had on this, you know, we're talking about spiritual and natural food, right? You know, different tastes. You know, what if I had a Bible over here and the Book of Mormon over here? Would that be an altar unto the Lord? You know, it would be an altar of man's ideas, and it would be an altar to the Lord. And so it would be, you know, like the scripture says, the tables are full of vomit. You know, it's regurgitation. It's something that's not, it's not where the vomit is, the eagles will be gathered. It's where the carcass is, where the fresh food of God from His Word is. That's where we want to be feasting. And so it can't be desecrated. On the altar can't be, from the table, it has to be just the Word of God. It has to be. It can't be any of our words, because then it's not a acceptable sacrifice, and it's not something that we can live and be sustainable to to grow, right? If I tell you my words, you're not going to grow. It's not going to make you feel better, but it's not going to grow you, and it's going to confuse you. So, and Brother Branham talks about this. We all know that this quote, what Brother Branham talks about, he says, and notice he says, he's talking about the altar, and he's talking about death, and he's talking about the things that we have on our altar that we're feeding on. And this is just one more time, Lord, he says, come back to the Word. Are they willing to do it? No, sir, they were not. You know what a price it takes. That woman will call you old-fashioned again. God will call you blessed. And are you willing to die? That's what's the trouble of it. You want to stay alive to Hollywood. The same time be alive with God. It won't mix. A seed, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die and abides alone, he'll never bring forth anything. Oh, Jesus, name church. What a glorious church. What a glorious name. Jesus' name. Are you ready to die? Are you Assemblies of God, General Assembly? Are you ready to die? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian? Are you ready to die out to your enemy? Are you willing to pay the price of sacrifice really sincerely? Not just come and say, well, I'll give it a try and see how I come out. You're not ready yet. You must be ready to pay the price and die. Now it goes into the altar. You fathers, you mothers, are you ready to establish an altar in your house and to take that television out? Are you ready to take the deck of cards off the table? Them comic books that your children's reading, preparing their little minds for a blast that the devil's going to give them? Are you ready to establish the old family altar again? Or do you just want to continue on the way you are? You want to continue on. You're not in the condition of coming yet. But I pray that you're like Samson. You'll see the price and you're ready. Lord, let me die with them. And how that he was willing to pay the cost. He was willing to pay the sacrifice. And to know that you look at, if you want deliverance in your life or something, look at Gideon, how the first thing that he had to do in order to have victory was what? Was to tear down his father's altar. And you think, wow, how that would have stirred a big nest. I mean, if any of us all of a sudden had to do something that to our own father, it started with family where it really, really hurt. But yet, with that, with, you know, like we've been hearing, you know, Brother Branham saying, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. So he had to break down that familyism, you know, this is going on past family, going on and going on to what God has for us and being victorious over all those family isms, and that so that we can go on to the promised land, we can keep growing, we can keep feeding. And you notice how I just want to showcase where he says to get those comic books off the table, like readying their little minds for a blast the devil has for them. And notice that, just think about food, and then think about those comic books for a second. We'll just use that as an example, is that now it was preparing them, just as we have certain tastes for something. And then now we ascribe and subscribe to those tastes. You know, if we said pesto, all of a sudden Sister Laura would get really excited, or the Don would get really excited, because we already have it. Or how many else like pesto? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Other people are like, oh, dear God, that's not that, right? But to think that we all of a sudden, yes, if there's pesto on it, it's on the menu, I'm going to have it. Why? Because we already have a taste for it. And so it's setting up our minds for that next thing that is there, because we already have a taste for it. And we've seen this, you know, in Hollywood, is that first you went from the 20s and 30s and you had comic books, and you say, there's nothing wrong with comic books. There's storybooks, you know, good versus evil, Superman versus, you know, the bad guy, right? You say there's nothing wrong with that. It's just good, clean fun. And yet, you all see that there is those underlying things. Did you know that there's some like Avengers movie, some comic book movie. It's the highest grossing movie in the world. Just came out, I think, last year. In the world. So Brother Branham said this back in, what was this, 1963, setting up their minds for a blast from the devil. And what's the highest grossing film? A comic book movie. So that's something here. You know, we're 60 years later, or you know, about 50, 60 years later, and that's the highest grossing film. They've made more comic books movies since 2000, year 2000, than they have ever before. And I believe it was $400 million to make the film. So you think about it, Satan knows his time is short. And so he's putting, and these movies are rated PG-13. So it's something that's very, very, now they're growing up. And so you can see that, again, it's a blast. You know, that God has his blast too. You know, the seven thunders, you have his messages comes forth with the blast. And it's an anointing. It's not just an email blast where you get it in from someone else, but there's something, an anointing there. And you think about how, you know, Marvel comics, you know, what do they do in Revelation after the beast? They marveled and they wondered, and everything is just about the lust of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that's their taste buds, right? All those sensory things. Whereas we look to the unseen, so it's not the lust of the eyes, praise God, or the lust of the flesh, and you know, all these sensates, and the pride of life. It's in humility. It's we hear the word and our heart rejoices. You know, it's something different that we're eating. That's different taste buds. Amen. So that just kind of showcases again what we're feeding on. What's on our altar? What's on our table? And you know that the altar is on our hearts. You know, ultimately, right? And so we could have, and we know that our heart is the scripture in the Greek talks about it, it's the seat of our cravings. It's the seat of our affections. It's of course, it's whatever is on the throne of our heart is what's guiding us and what we will feed on ultimately, right? So sometimes we have to put things that we really, really have affection towards. Now, I had a lot of affection towards comics growing up, and things like that, where we lay it on the altar and say, Lord, call me old fashioned. I want more of you. I want to lay this down. And it's not, oh Lord, help me with this taste. I just want to, you know, work on that. But it's saying, Lord, I know it has to die. It has to die. I was talking to someone that would, not from here, but in the message for 50 years. And the one thing was his weakness was movies. And I challenged him on it. And he says, yeah, it's so hard. And you could tell, like, it was the one thing that holds him back is movies. And it's the one thing that, like, that punch Satan has coming for you. It's that food, you know, for me, where it's like, oh, there's that movie. You know, it's that, he tries to get me off track by that. And yet, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so when our spiritual food and our spiritual thinking and spiritual appetite, to know how much better than all that to have the joy in the Holy Ghost, to have peace in our hearts. Because we know that those news feeds and all that stuff doesn't give us any peace. Scripture, we know all another scripture where it says, you know, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's such a, we're feeding on these things. The Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Because we've been feeding on it, right? Not movie lines or sports lines or stats or all these things, you know. But the Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Amen? Amen. This is from the greatest news flash in history, in 61. Now the message is, he goes before us, just talking about the fresh Word of God. He's not in a tomb behind us. He's before us, making a way. We are to follow, not to look back to the tomb, but to look forward to what he's leading for our leader. We're to follow him, not to look back to the tombs. And he was talking about in this, he says, it's a feast. It's not a frolic, neither is it a funeral procession. So that he's alive, he's not in a tomb, he's not, we know that. But to think that he's not historic. He's God wants for each and every one of us, Anna, Josh, Peter, each one of us, that there's something precious and alive and wonderful for us today that's non-historic, that is not for us now to feast on. Isaiah 58, I'll just go there, verse 14. Then, just at the end, for time's sake, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Why feeding? It's a heritage. It's all the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's feeding us with a heritage. It's not just Fruit Loops to just make us feel good. It's a whole heritage. What a wonderful thing that is. And, yeah, you look at Jesus with the woman at the well with her thirst. And what did he say to the disciples? And interesting, the first thing they came up with is oh boy, we're hungry. You just got done talking about thirsting. And what did Jesus say to them? You know, my will is to, my meat and drink is to do the will of the Father. And that's it, for us to have that. Amen. Let's go to John 6. You know, here, brother Jesus, our brother. Amen. It's scriptural. This is talking about how to have the right taste buds, how to be a picky eater. John 6. And we'll start in verse 53. And yet we know in verse 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So thank God for that thirst and hunger to feast. And in verse 53, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. If Noah eat up this bread, he shall live forever. If Isabel eat up this bread, she shall live forever. Right? If Zoe eat of this bread, she shall live forever. It's a feasting. It's Jesus. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I'll give you for the life of the world. And of course, they choked at it, right? In the next verse, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And we have heard this so wonderfully brought forth so many times. But he goes on and goes on about partaking of himself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye will have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's feasting at the table. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He says it over and over and over again in different ways, because it was so paramount. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And you see this, he goes right from eating, and of course they all fell away in John 6:66. And of course, what did Peter say in verse 68, when Jesus said, will you also go away? Simon Peter said, Lord, where would we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And it's to think, there it is, the words of life. That's our food. The words of life. Is it in 1 John chapter 3 about Cain, how that those that don't have the love for the truth, and God hasn't given them the love for the truth. The love to not only for the truth to eat, but also to feed his sheep. You know, and to think we're sheep of his pasture. You know, sheep don't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, do they? What kind of meal plan are they on?
Just grazing all the time.
That's right. We're to graze all the time. So you don't have to, you know, all you young, hungry boys, you don't have to wait till lunchtime to eat from the table of life. You don't have to wait till dinner time. So you can just eat all day on the good things of God. But you could say, but yet, I'm hungry, but I don't know if I'm that hungry to eat all day. Brother Bam talks about this a little bit. And he was really an evangelistic just anointing. He says, oh brother, sister, we're at Kadesh Barnea, we're tasting now, and this is from Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost. Last night the Holy Spirit fell upon us, come in us like a rushing wind. It settled upon many of you. Today ministers have been visiting homes here and there, laying on hands and praying for them that seeking the Holy Ghost. Don't take a substitute. Don't you take some kind of noise. Don't you take some kind of sensation. You wait there until God has molded you and made you a new creature and made you a new person. You're tasting it now, just tasting it. Sometimes I think that our flesh just likes a little taste. You know, if we're only in our flesh, if we don't have the Holy Spirit hunger that only can feed on the Word of God, that can only feast on the Word of God. I remember those times where I just wanted a little bit just to, so I felt a little okay, a little safe. That, you know, well, I read my Bible. But he says, you wait there until God has molded you and made you a new creature, made you a new person. You're tasting and now just tasting it. But let the dove lead you right to the table, and the lamb and the dove sit down together and feast forevermore, hallelujah, upon the Word of God. Feast forevermore on the Word of God. I'm going to read that last part one more time. But let the dove lead you right to the table, that's the Holy Spirit, and the lamb and the dove sit down together and feast forevermore upon the Word of God. For it will stand when there's no heaven or earth. The Word of God will remain. That is true. So that's what will give us that by having the Holy Spirit, will feast evermore on the Word of God. And He invites each one of us tonight to come and dine upon Him. And how you think about that too. We don't have to go there, but notice how then in the end, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Is that it's now we're inviting, because now He's not just like a KTS song. Oh, you're there, you're inviting me, and I'm coming. And oh, no, we're there with Him now, and we're saying come and dine to others, right? We're saying come and dine, come and see. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's the way to solve spiritual world hunger. Is come and dine, come and see, come, inviting. That's all we have to do if there's a hungry heart for us to go outside these walls. I remember being at my Uncle Lanky's funeral, and at right as you're leaving the parking lot, it says, you're now entering the mission field. There was a sign there. I thought that was wonderful. It's that word to say, come and dine. Come and see. Come. Come. As the song says, the Spirit and the Bride to come. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be. Oh, will be a glorious sight, all the saints, spotless white, and with Jesus they shall feast eternally. Jesus has a table spread. You think about these. Why did God do it this way, saints? It must be so important for Him, for us to eat His life, eat His food, and to look at the ingredients of what we're eating. And not just eat any old thing that's there spiritually, to really say, is this going to sustain me? Is this going to be on the curtain of time? To think that when we get to the other side in glory, who wants to sit at a table and a feast when we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? But yet, that symbol of our reward, saints of God, think about that. What He wants us to have our reward with on this side is what our reward will be eternally. Entering into His joy now, it says, you know, enter into the joy of the Lord for eternity. You know, and it's feasting on Him, we'll feast with Him eternally. So what is it? We doesn't change. What we all know is that the other side doesn't change. You know, change us. As far as it just changes our dwelling place, and so that how hungry are will be to be feasting before Him if we're not really that hungry now. So for us to be challenged, saints of God, and I just burning in my heart, just saying, Lord, help me to. Like in the sermon Brother Ben preached on thirsting for life, how he says that we wouldn't take that wonderful thirst of God and waste it on the things of the world, waste it on nonsense. Brother Ben said to gum up our lives and gum up those channels that he has, but that we could be a vessels feasting and just getting ready to close. But I just had a wonderful testimony about this a little bit with Brother Steve Propolis. I know we've been praying for Sister Karen, and I just, the Lord really came down in the car on the way to work, and I was just praising the Lord and just called him, and we were talking about the good things of the Lord, and sometimes where things just seem really hard, you know, and you think, well, just read your Bible, brother, and pray, right? It seems so, such a platitude sometimes, but he prayed, Lord, I just feel like when I pray, just feels like I'm hitting the ceiling of brass. And he said, he's like, I know you're faithful and you're true. And he says, but just the things that are going on in my life. And he just prayed. And he said he got home and he picked up a message book and it was a sermon. And he opened it up and Brother Bram was saying, and the first thing he read, he says, you may be praying and you feel like you're just hitting a ceiling of brass. Everything that he said in his prayer was right there, just from the Lord. And to think that, you know, in the perplexities of our life, to think that when we go to Him to hear His voice, He's going to speak to us. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we could say, well, feasting is an intimacy, but yet it's His voice to our ears. And how that, you know, even in Song of Solomon, it's partaking. It's feeding too. It's all intertwined. It's not just let's just read the word and let's go home. No, it's just a wonderful. He speaks in the sound of His voice. It's so sweet. The birds stop their singing. That's that intimacy and that's that feasting. And just to end it with a praise report. Just was really heavy in the spirit in prayer. It's just the Lord called him and. In tears and just saying, we're praying for Sister Karen. He says, brother, Brother Steve Propolis from Baltimore area, or from Pennsylvania. He said, brother, she's been, you know, fighting cancer for 148 days, and today was the first day she was back in church. And we were just rejoicing. We were just rejoicing with her. So they said her, because it's for to be cancer free, you have to be between 0 and 30. On the count, something like that, 0 and 40. And she started out at, it was like 3,500. And she was that high. And then she went back again, and it was, after chemo, it was down to 2,900. And then down to like 1,700. Now it's down to 900. So the Lord just really moving. And he said to just greet the church and thank them for their prayers, that God is really moving. So on behalf of Sister Karen, so, God be praised. Amen. With musicians, would you come? I hope that's a blessing to you. You know, why do we eat? Why do we feast from this table? For us to be picky eaters, to say, I can't eat that kind of thing. I'm on a special diet. I can't stomach that. That just turned my stomach. Amen. What number is Lord Feed Your Children? Is that in Only Believe? Okay. In the insert? Okay. Amen. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat
from the tree of life. Let me drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let's just all stand as we stand again. Oh, Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to feast on the table. May be seated for a second. Beautiful. You know what he was talking about was supernatural happenings. When Jesus fed those disciples and he said they couldn't catch any fish. Okay, drop your net to the other side. Well, I don't know if he created fish or moved them, but all of a sudden, where there was nothing, there was more than they could haul in that would break the nets. Right? A supernatural happening. And that is feeding, brothers and sisters. When Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father, there was something going on. There was an interaction between Him and the Father. When you are eating, it's not going to do you any good to just pick this up. Unless the Spirit's there to quicken it to you. The Spirit is the one that feeds you to it. I'm praying with all my heart. We started the service out tonight with, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, do you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'm going to put a challenge out to all of you. If you're not sure that you have the Holy Spirit, now is the time. Now is the time. Don't rest until you know. If you think, if you don't know, you don't have it. Because when you know, you have it. So, the time is late, and the time is that we need to be feasting. And I want you to know, you come to me, you come to one of the brothers, but we'll pray all night, we'll do anything until you know, okay? But you must know, and nobody else can tell you. I can't tell you. You have to tell me you have it. But this, brothers and sisters, it's critical now. We can't play church anymore. We can't come here. We have to know. You have to know. You have to know. I have it. And nobody can talk me out of it. Because I know what's going on inside of here. And I know when this pick up. See, remember what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit will come, He will guide you into all truth. He's the one that feeds you. Right? When the Holy Spirit will come, He will speak. Not of Himself. What He hears, He will speak. He will show you things to come. He will glorify the Lord Jesus. He will teach you. He will do all these things. It's Him that feeds you. And you have to know. So I'm going to ask you, every service, I'm going to ask you, do you know? Do you know? And if you don't, I'm going to pray that God makes your life so agitated, so uneasy, until you know that you know that you know I'm under the token. Because this is the time you don't want to wake up someday and say, oh, I missed it. And He was looking for that token. He's looking. Believe me, the angel of death is out there. Okay? He's out there, brothers and sisters. Don't let Him come visit you. Let's just sing that, what we started off. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, yeah, don't you want God's moon? Yeah, just to be your pillow. Oh, hide me over. Talk about the token in your home. Take the token home. Listen to the token. Read it. Listen to it. Talk to it about with your children, parents. Do you know there's a death angel in the land? Do you know that you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, which is His Spirit, which is nothing but the Spirit of God made manifest in this day? That Holy Spirit has to be over us, or the death angel is in us. It's for the home. It's for the home. You pray the token over your home. You talk the token to your children. You talk it. You must know. You must know. Ah, Heavenly Father, when you feed us, we know we're fed. When you feed us, Father, something happens on the inside. Our cells, spiritual cells, rejoice because there's eternal life going into them. There's a body that you're creating on the other side in another dimension. Every time we eat, you're adding to that body there things that are to be. Oh, Lord, for a spiritual happening and a spiritual happening in each one of your children, Lord. Father, I know you are the one. You, Lord, you alone. I can't baptize them in the Holy Spirit, only you can. I just pray, Heavenly Father, oh, bring an agitation, bring a turmoil, take peace away until they know that they know that they know, Lord God. Work among your children, Father. Lord, I commit us all to you. For that end, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time, would you stand up? Let's sing that. You may dismiss. Oh, my love. The world's on fire. Don't you want God's bosom? This message, that's enough. That isn't enough. You have to have the token. He looks down and he says, I got to see me over you. Remember what Brother Branham says? You know what? Unless you have that, all your believing is in vain. Let it work. God bless you.